All right. Welcome to the Verifiable Credentials API call. This is our weekly call. This is at the new time. And it looks like a number of our regulars probably didn't get the memo that it's at a new time. So, we may not be able to get too much done on this call, today, but we'll see how it goes. On the agenda, for the call today is, just a quick recap of the W3C technical plenary meeting, with respect to how it may or may not affect the VC API. We'll talk about the data integrity discussion that happened at W3C TPAC. We'll have a discussion around potentially snapshotting or partially moving over some subset of the VC API to the Verifiable Credentials Working Group for publication as a note, and we'll do issue processing as time permits. Are there any other updates or changes to the agenda? All right, if there are no updates, let's go into introductions and reintroductions. I note that there are a couple of new people on the call, so if you don't mind, if you're new, please introduce yourself to the group. Go ahead, Patrick.
I just wanted to give a few updates. Two or three things. So last week it was the Hyperledger Global Forum, which some people at ID Lab participated. Another update. So we also have currently a client engagement at ID Lab with a solution provider. They want to get sort of test their solution against the VC API, and I asked them if I could mention their name here. So it's a company called IP Toki. They are based in Montreal, Canada. They are interested in participating at these calls eventually, so I send them the invitation. So they might show up eventually, introduce themselves, and I think they would be maybe interested in discussing how to sort of collaborate to make their implementation known. And that's it. I also, another subject, maybe don't have to discuss it today, but there was an article published, by Identity Woman, last week, so 2 weeks ago, and it made a bit of sparked a couple of discussions in the Hyperledger, community. So I was curious to have, some opinion from the people here in the W3C sphere. It was basically an article regarding the Anon Cred data model pushed forward by Hyperledger and comparing it to the W3C. So yeah, I was just curious if you have heard of the article and if you have an opinion on that. And that's pretty much it for me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Patrick. Yes, I've seen the article. I'm hesitant to comment on it, other than many of those things have been said over the past 7+ years, 5, 6, 7 years. If there's interest here, I mean, we can discuss it. It's probably a pretty divisive, topic. So I'm a bit hesitant to bring it up in this forum, right? I mean, we're supposed to be focused on VC API, not Anon creds and that sort of thing. So the place for that conversation might be the more generalized CCG call. But if you could provide a link, Patrick, I think that would help everyone understand which article you're talking about. I see Steve on the queue. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, sorry. Won't barge in this time. Yeah, not so much new to the group, but certainly new to you all, most of you all. My name is Steve Eisler. I'm working for a company called Credivera out of Western Canada. We are very much responsible for certifications for workplace and compliance. And we're taking the step into VCs here. And looking forward to helping contribute on the API side of things.
Wonderful. Welcome to the group. Happy to see you here.
Thanks.
Paul, please go ahead.
Hey, Manu, I'm Paul Dietrich from GS1 US. GS1 is a global standards body that stewards the numbering for supply chain products, entities, trade items, etc. We've been engaged in VCs for a few years now, and finally we're kind of moving forward to join this group and see how we can participate.
Great. Welcome, Paul. I'm noting Coyote and Dave are having audio issues. Reloading the browser sometimes helps. We do have a phone dial-in number, but I forget what the extension is, unfortunately. And then again, if you are on Mac OS, or iPhone, there have been issues with that. You can try switching browsers. Sometimes that clears up the audio issues. Apologies for those audio issues. And welcome, Paul. Wonderful to have you here. Okay. Let's see. Next up on the agenda, are community updates in general. Any community updates? I know, Patrick, you covered a few. Any other announcements or community updates? The only one I have is that next week is rebooting the Web of Trust in The Hague. There are going to be a number of us there. And so the meeting next week, is probably going to be, is canceled. For those of you that, are going to be there, we'll see you there. For those of you that we won't, I'm sorry, we won't see you. But, we will meet again at the same time, the following week. So this is our permanent time for the call now. And we will, meet, regularly at this time, because that's what the poll showed was the best time for everyone. Any other announcements or community updates? All right, then moving quickly into our agenda. The first agenda item has to do with kind of discussions at the W3C Technical Plenary. I'm going to link to the minutes from the W3C Technical Plenary there. One of the discussions, or one of the topics that was discussed at W3C TPAC, was this concept of streamlining the data integrity specification. So the reason that it has an effect on some of the VC API stuff is that when it comes to testing the VC API, as some of you that are new here, we have this test suite that tests various aspects of the VC API, issuing, verifying things like credential status, different cryptography suites. And of course we had to settle on some kind of, to run the test suites, under, and that's DidKey right now. So all the test suites that do signatures and everything use DidKey for testing. The streamlining data integrity, work, is about effectively standardizing, doing the global standard for the data integrity mechanism of securing verifiable credentials, which is one of the mechanisms. And we're trying to lock it in, basically. So within the next, let's say, 9 months, probably closer to 6 months, we will have the data integrity specs locked in, such that people can start committing to certain cryptography suites long-term, like 5+ years, you know, long-term, kind of support for, these cryptography suites. So, those discussions happened. They didn't necessarily result in absolutely concrete decisions, meaning that we had at least one individual, maybe more, say that they objected to the new direction for the crypto suites. And unfortunately, I mean, it's publicly known it was Joe. And unfortunately, Joe's not here today. I was hoping to have a discussion with him about his concerns around crypto suites. But in general, the suggestion was to simplify the crypto suites, basically the data integrity crypto suites, and wrap them into the main verifiable credentials context. Now, you don't have to do that. If you're dealing with data structures that are other than verifiable credentials, so just like a JSON-LD document, and you want to digitally sign it, you can still use all the legacy crypto suites, and you'll be able to use new crypto suites. So we're not talking about preventing anything that anybody's been doing to date. We're trying to suggest an optimization for developers to make it easier to support multiple crypto suites. So I won't go into the details. There are slides here around the proposal, slides around proposal for crypto suite streamlining. So there's the slide deck that puts the proposal forward. In general, there was enough support for us to start putting in a bunch of PRs. This is just a heads up to this group that we're probably going to use the VC API to test all those new crypto suites. So I'll pause here to see if anyone has any objections on the new path, or if you're kind of like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We need more information. So any confusion or objections to the path crypto suites seem to be taking in using VC API to test them? Go ahead. Paul, is that an old queue or is that a new one? Okay, old queue. Mahmoud, go ahead, please.
I just want to be clear that there were, as far as I can tell, two parts of that proposal. One part is to include signature suites in the base verifiable credentials context. And another part of how do we ensure backwards compatibility and long-term use. So please review those slides. They were very, very helpful. I just want to underline those two key points.
Yes, that was, excellent point, Mahmoud. There were really two decisions that needed to be made, and we can make those decisions independently of one another. And at no point are we going to lose backwards compatibility. Like, you can still do the old stuff. This was just a proposal for us being able to make it easier for some of the new stuff. Patrick, you did have your hand up. Did you want to go, or did that answer your question?
I can just maybe voice what I'm thinking. Like, so for me, just like this, I'm not going to lie, it's a bit confusing. That's my first reaction, but I just want to make sure I understand. So from what I understood the last time, the goal was to add individual test suite for each cryptographic methods. So is that still going to be the way the tests are going to be driven? Except
yes,
there will be more tests, meaning one for the sort of proof being outside of the context and the other one, the proof being sort of included or embedded in the context. So those would be two separate tests.
So there will still be one test suite per crypto suite. So if you're using like ED25519 signature 2020, there's a separate test suite for that. The new stuff is going to be called like EDDSA 2020 or BBS 2020, mm-hmm. Or ECDSA 2022. Those new ones are going to get one test suite per crypto suite. So there will always be this one-to-one mapping between test suite and crypto suite. And that won't change. What you said was slightly nuanced. There was a slightly nuanced difference there. The group has not made a decision on whether or not to include this new, it's called a data integrity proof type. Like, if they include that in the base verifiable credential version 2 context, then Nobody has to include new crypto suites as far as they follow, you know, that general design pattern. But that decision hasn't been made yet. So we expect the test suite might change, if we're testing verifiable credentials. So either you're going to need a new data integrity. In the worst case, you're going to need to use a new data integrity context in addition to the base verifiable credentials context. That's in the worst case, which is the case we're in right now. Or the verifiable credential working group will decide, you know what, let's make it easier on developers and let's just put that into the base context. And if that happens, then the only thing you need to digitally sign a verifiable credential is the base context. And you will, by doing that, you will be able to support EDDSA and ECDSA and BBS and all kinds of different contexts. Mahmood, you're next, and then Dave Longley.
I didn't queue.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so I think no matter what, there's going to be a data integrity context that stands alone, so it can be used with things other than VCs. And that also implies that there would be tests where that context is used as well. So I think no matter what, and this is to Patrick's point about there being two different sets of tests, for things that are, certainly for things that are not VCs, data integrity tests would be run against the data integrity context, not just the VC context.
Yep. Hopefully that helps, and hopefully this is not confusing things more than helping. It really helps to have seen the slide deck and absorbed it. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, Mani, you mentioned on the TPAC meeting that it was hard for developers, and that's what motivated this change. Can you be specific about what exactly was hard and how this is making it easier?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe that'll clarify it. So, developers have basically said, stop making us create new crypto suite contexts. And is there an easier way for us to do this? So it was mostly a complaint with like no solution, right? It was, you're making us include all these different crypto suites. We don't want to do that anymore. And there was a concern around crypto suite proliferation. Like for every new crypto suite, we will need a new JSON-LD context. And it turns out that the vast majority of those new crypto suites, everything was the same in the crypto suite context, except for like the type. So the only thing that, you know, people were basically copying and pasting these things. And the only thing that was really changing was the type, like ED 255.19 signature 2020 or JSON web signature 2020, or like that was the only thing that was changing. So it was a lot of kind of template copy paste code that developers were doing. The new proposal basically says, let's just call these all of these things data integrity proofs. And the only thing that changes is the name of the crypto suite, which is a string. And so there will be, so they basically all these crypto suites will share a base context. And the only thing that changes is kind of the crypto suite string. And by doing that, all of a sudden, you know, if the working group adopts this, there you just need a base verifiable credential V2 context. Like there will be like there'll be two contexts in the verifiable credential. There'll be the base verifiable credential one, and then there'll be the market vertical specific one, like for education or traceability or things of that nature. Hopefully that helped. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so today developers, if they want to add a new crypto suite to any of their applications or software, wherever they want to put it, let me start with the ideal case, if they want to add one, is they install a new library and hook that library up to support that crypto suite. What they have to do today is they have to do that, and then they additionally have to update any context document loaders that they have to support whatever new contexts are brought in by the new suites. And they have to update any JSON schemas that might, and may or may not involve different or new properties. And there's a number of other little side pieces that are involved there that you may or may not have to touch or deal with. And, so this is designed to make it so that it's much, much easier to add, or remove crypto suites from your software because the core format is not changing. Everything's been pushed down into, the layering has changed so that, any proof values and things like that encapsulate, the data that is specific to the crypto suite. So the only thing your JSON schema is looking for is like proof value now. It doesn't need to change if your crypto suite changes. The contexts don't need to change because any of the semantic values have been pushed out of that into a different space. So you don't need to change those things. And so ultimately we've gotten as close as we think we can to making it so that when you want to add or change support for crypto suites, you just get a library that implements it and hook that up to your application. There aren't other things that you also have to do.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it would just, it's easier to just to show this, I think. I think the mistake I made here was that most of the people here were not a W3C TPAC. And so this is probably all very new and confusing. Let me share my screen and point to what the old version and the new version looks like. And maybe, you know, that's what we spend time doing today. Can folks see my screen?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So this is what we do today. I'm just look at the center part of the screen here. So today we have a version one credentials context, and then you have your market vertical specific one for like education or supply chain or citizen identity. And today we have to add a crypto suite to say, this is how I'm going to digitally sign it. So you end up having like three contexts here, right? And it's this third one that people were complaining about, right? They were like, hey, that's really annoying and difficult. Please don't do that. And the only thing that it really did was it established this type value here, right? So this is today. If people are doing this today, they don't have to change to this new mechanism. So they can continue to do, like, if people were not having a problem with this, they can continue to do this, but we're trying to be responsive to like implementer feedback. And so the suggestion was like, can't we just figure out a way to wrap this thing into the base context? So the proposal is to move to something that looks like this. So in the next working, so within the next 9 months, the suggestion, we are going to move to a V2 context for verifiable credentials V1. All the old V1 stuff will continue to work. Like, don't worry, that stuff's, you know, stable and will continue to do its thing. But the new V2 one, we could potentially fold the crypto suites into it. The type for all, and this is just data integrity proofs. It has nothing to do with the JOT-based stuff, right? So for data integrity stuff, the type will always be data integrity proof, but we'll introduce this new value called crypto suite, which will call out the specific crypto suite. This may, like, people might look at this and go like, I don't understand what the big deal is. But fundamentally, we're not having to declare any new JSON-LD types for new crypto suites. That's the big change. And by making this big change, then all of a sudden the base V2 context supports many different types of crypto. So the list of all the different types of crypto we can support with this new model is down here at the bottom, right? All these different types of crypto suites are supportable in this new model. So let me stop there. Mahmoud, you're on the queue, and then Patrick.
Would you mind going back one slide or two slides to the slide that has the current? Okay. One thing I would note here is what you're seeing on the screen only applies to, for example, E2519-2020. Some of the other suites are already embedded in the V1 context. So if you look at the V1 context right now, which I'm going to put in has a link in chat, you'll see that there are existing suites like 85519 signature 2018, right? And what we're doing here isn't revolutionary, right? Like, we're not doing something that's not already currently being done. We're just generalizing this solution so that it applies to a bunch of other crypto suites without having to, you know, having to do this work for every single new suite that gets added.
Yeah. So yeah, that's exactly right, Mahmood. Like, the mistake we made in the V1 context was we started to lock into very specific crypto suites, and that bound how crypto suites could evolve with how verifiable credentials context would evolve. It bound them together, and we're trying to split them apart right now. Because there are a number of these that, like, people just don't use today, like RSA Signature 2018 and, like, this R1 signature isn't used. This one's used. So we're trying to do less of a, we don't want to pick winners this time around, but we do want to help developers, you know, stay fairly, we just want to help developers, you know, make it a bit easier for them. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, so you showed a slide of sort of, if I understand it, a prototype of what it would look like if the crypto suite would be embedded in the existing context. Do you have an example of the other alternative, which would be to create a whole new context for the crypto suite? Do you have, like, a visual example?
Yeah, that's this one right here. That's what we do today. So we create a totally new context for each crypto suite today. That's the current state of the ecosystem.
Okay.
So note how this is a separate crypto suite that's defined and included separately.
Yes.
And then this one doesn't have that third one. It doesn't have that ED25519 one.
Okay, yeah, I see.
Yeah, so it just removes the need to do that. Go ahead, Mahmood.
As an implementer, what this means is you will now need to add that context every time you see a data type of a context that's not in the existing V1 crypto suite, which is a huge headache, whereas it could easily be done for you for, was it 80% of the crypto suite span? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't lose the ability, and this is the key part, if you want to go and add your own crypto suite, you would not lose that ability. You can always add a new context for your own thing. It just gives you this other avenue that captures the vast majority of people.
Yep, exactly right. We're not losing any, nobody's losing any features. This is just an optimization, basically. So the suggestion is, you know, we start using the optimization, in this group. But again, it's like, it's this optional, it is an optional thing. People don't have to do this. But that's kind of the direction that we think people are going to go, because it's just, you know, easier to work with. Like, you don't have to remember which crypto suite context you need to include, when you're writing code anymore. Okay. Any, questions, concerns, comments on that? I think that it's just this is just like a heads up to the group. Like, this looks to be where the verifiable credentials, you know, working group might be headed, some variation of this future. And, it will, you know, we will probably start seeing, new crypto suite test suites driven by the VC API that kind of tests this functionality. Go ahead, Patrick.
Is it a concern that, while you develop the new test suite for the crypto suites, that, this work could eventually be, made deprecated depending on the direction that they decide to go? Or is there a way to sort of plan in advance and make those test suites sort of adaptable to whatever direction is taken with this?
At this point, I think we've got enough direction from the group where we're not very concerned about major changes. Like, we're not expecting there to be major changes. The biggest change that's going to affect the test suite is whether or not the working group decides to include the data integrity proof definition in the base V2 context, or if they say, no, we don't want to do that. We want to have a separate data integrity context. That's the only thing that would impact the test suite.
Okay, so yeah, and
shouldn't be a huge lift.
Would you say it'd be a good idea to be like proactive and include those two scenarios in the test suite and have it as a flag if that's at all possible, or that would be kind of redundant?
I think we should just wait for the group to decide, right? I mean, it's an excellent question, but I think the group is probably going to make that decision in the next 2 months. And, you know, there isn't like this really strong, compelling need that we absolutely need these crypto suite test suites to be done in the next 2 months. So I think we can wait largely on that. Did that answer your question, Patrick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's just the heads up. That's agenda item 2, VC API and data integrity updates. Let's go ahead and move on to the next issue, which has to do with how this group might want to move some of the work we're doing here into the VC working group. So the question here, let me try and get this a little larger. So we have a number of, and I know there are new people on the call. Sure. Let me show folks what we're talking about to try and ground the conversation here. So currently, this group, the VC API work item group, has a set of interoperability test reports that we work on. We have them for issuers. We have them for verifiers. I think we have, what's that, ED? Yeah, we have it for crypto suites. So for like the issuers, we have, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 companies implementing the VC API for issuing right now. And we have a whole bunch of interop tests that we do against the API, right? We have a whole bunch of tests for verifiers, and we have, again, the same 6 implementers implementing the VC API and demonstrating a whole bunch of interop at a data model level. We have like 3 implementers for the ED25519 Signature 2020 test suite that does, again, data model checking and then cryptography, cryptographic signature checking, and then does an N-by-N test. I think, yeah, it does an N-by-N test to see if one organization can generate a verifiable credential with signature and the other organization can verify it with positive and negative tests. And so we have all these test suites, and all of these test suites are driven at their core by the VC API. Specifically the issuer endpoint and the verifier endpoint. So we have all this infrastructure here that's super useful. The verifiable credential working group, needs a new test suite. And some of the requirements put forward were that, you know, the test suite should be able to be run on a regular basis. We should be able to hook into anyone's issuance or verification infrastructure to test it. We should be able to do N-by-N matrix testing. We should be able to test very specific normative requirements in the specification, like razor-sharp focus on, like, the issuer property must have this form with these fields and all that kind of stuff, right? So basically, and we looked at a whole bunch of different types of testing. So the VC working group is looking for a new way of doing testing. Digital Bazaar is suggesting that we should just reuse the VC API, specifically just the issuer and just the verifier endpoints to do testing because of data integrity and the crypto suite stuff uses the VC API really successfully to do end by end testing, right? So it would be useful to have a subset of the VC API documented in the verifiable credentials working group as effectively a note to talk about how the test suite, you know, what the endpoints for the test suite and everything are. So the suggestion here is that we move at least those two endpoints into the verifiable credential working group, and there's kind of a giant hand wave around like exactly how we do that. Like, do we do it in spec form? Do we do it in OAS form? If we do that, then how do we keep the work that we're doing here aligned with the work that's going on there? And then how do we also make sure that it's aligned with the traceability folks, you know, use of, parts of the VC API? There's just a lot of coordination, you know, work that needs to go on. And that's kind of what the discussion today is about. Like, one, do we want to try and do that? Like, are we supportive? Are the people in this group supportive of verifiable credentials working group, reusing VC API for the test suite? Two, are we interested in at least providing two of the endpoints, issuance and verification to the VC working group? You know, do we feel like they're stable enough, to do a test suite, to run a test suite? And then three, we need to talk about like the details of coordinating these things between the multiple groups. So I'll stop there, and see if there are any questions, any clarifying questions around, you know, what we're trying to do here. Let me take a pause. Go ahead, Patrick.
If someone else has a question regarding what you just explained, they can go ahead. Add like something that's more related to the slides that you shared.
Okay. Well, does it go back into another topic, Patrick?
It's about proofs.
Okay. Let me finish this thought, and it may be that right now we just don't have any feedback on this about whether people want to do it or not, and then we can go back to that. And Patrick, please remind me if it slips my mind. Please interrupt and remind me. Logan, go ahead.
I just had a quick question. What do you know? What the mechanism for the VC data model test suite uses now?
Yes, yeah, because we wrote it. So, here, let me go to the VC data model thing. There's this implementation. So if you go to the current verifiable credentials data model and you go to the header, there's this thing that says implementation report. And if we click on this, we'll go, this is the implementation report for verifiable credentials, right? And so it's got every normative statement in the specification, both the positive and negative tests for it. And then it's got every implementer along the top. So like Brightlink, Credly, Evernym, Factum, Gravity. So all, you know, all these people, implemented it. This was a static test suite, which basically meant like we gave each library implementer, we gave them the test suite and then they ran it against a localized copy to generate a report on whether or not they passed each test. So it was kind of self-reported, right? And the problem with this test suite is that basically they ran it once, and if they got a whole bunch of green check marks, many of them never came back. They never ran it again. So for some of these folks, these tests are like 2+ years out of date. We have no idea what their current library does. And we would have to like get in touch with a human being and get them to run the test suite by hand again. It also required them to create, it also required us to invent a command line text-based protocol that looks very much like the VC API, but it only works on like standard in and standard out on a console. So we would have like this command line tool. If you were a library implementer, we would have a command line tool call a binary version, a command line version of your library. We would feed a verifiable credential to you, and then you would give us one back that was, you know, digitally signed, or we would ask you to verify it, and you would tell us whether or not it passed verification. So it was this completely bespoke command line driven thing. And today, we have the VC API. The VC API basically does the same thing, right? So the question was, do we want to keep using this old bespoke command line thing, or do we want to just use the VC API? Because the VC API supports everything that we'd need to use to test, and we can run VC API on a nightly basis or weekly basis. There was some pushback. I think Gabe from Square was like, can we please do this in Docker? Because like you shouldn't have to run your own infrastructure to be able to pass the test suite. We have tried Docker before. It was not a successful outcome. But there was a suggestion that like maybe somebody else would run your Docker instance, you know, as a VC API endpoint so that we could do testing. So it's like the open source developers wouldn't have to run it. Somebody that's a company that has infrastructure, you know, could run it or run it in a droplet. Sorry, that was a very long-winded answer to your question, Logan, but this is what the old test suite looks like currently, and it has some pretty serious flaws that the VC API could probably help with. Did that answer your question, Logan?
Yeah, no, that does answer my question. And my next question was going to be, would it require hosting an endpoint continuously set? It's good to have that clear.
Yeah, and that's an open question. We know some people don't want to do that, and we know that could, what's the word? It could disenfranchise some of the smaller open source developers, and we definitely don't want to do that. And so I think we get past that problem if there is some organization that's willing to, host like a forever run Docker instance, for example. But we also understand that some companies just don't want to put their infrastructure up 24/7, 365, because, you know, people can try and attack it and all that kind of stuff. With that said, we have six companies that are doing just that right now. Each one of these companies has infrastructure running 24/7 that the test suite runs against. Patrick, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I just want to point out, like, what you just described is exactly what we do at the ID Lab. So we have an engagement right now with a client. So we provided a private environment. We can work with them to deploy virtual machines, whatever they need to deploy their solution. And then they come have someone connect to their environment, deploy their solution. We provide them with the public IP, public readable IP with the public endpoint. And then we run tests against their solution. So that's sort of one thing that we try to do. You know, it's one role that we want to take in the community. Another thing I wanted to mention. So for this test suite here, one of the projects that I've done personally is I made a fork of the test suite, got rid of all the negative testing and put it in a Docker container and made it so that you could feed to that Docker container an already signed verifiable credential, and it would just validate the data format. So that's one sort of a little project that I've made that I thought was pretty interesting. So I called it a sort of a VC validator simple application. So that was one way I was going with the Docker. Another question I had, so for that test suite, you need to fill a configuration file with a generator that was, I believe, traditionally meant to roll with like a binary command line. And one of the examples was the VCGS solution, you know, that was made by, I believe it's your company, if I'm correct, Digital Bazaar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I was able to run this with the latest version, which is sort of a Docker-based way of doing it. So I was able to, in the generator line, put a Docker command, and it would feed the test in this Docker container, and the test ran fine. Another question I had, maybe you would have a better idea if this would be possible, is for that generator command to do some sort of curl request against an API and feed those file into this curl request. Do you think that could be possible? It was my next sort of thing to play around with this test suite.
Yeah, certainly it should be possible. Yeah, absolutely. I think what we're trying to do, so all these things are possible, right? I think what we're trying to do is to add a continuous integration, continuous deployment kind of process to this so that, you know, the whole ecosystem can see that on any given day, how everyone's doing with respect to conforming to the spec and conforming to the crypto suites and conforming to the extensions and that kind of stuff, right? We're trying to, you know, go away from the static testing, which is what we did for VC1.0 and 1.1. And we're trying to go to more dynamic testing, which is what we're doing with the VC API test suites. But the short answer, Patrick, is yeah. I mean, you should, because it's a command line driven thing, you can always make a curl command, right? A curl call out to an external system to do the testing.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's enough on this. I guess this as well is kind of a, I don't know if we're going to get to consensus today on whether or not we want to snapshot the VC API to move it in the verifiable credentials working group. Maybe folks can think about it over the next 2 weeks. And then, if you have thoughts, please add them as comments to the issue, issue 304, because we will need to make a decision on this, shortly, around, you know, how we're going to do testing. Mahmoud, you're on the queue.
So I guess I had a pretty big, 3 points that I wanted to make. I wanted to answer the Docker thing specifically. I believe they are currently using this at diff. It has been working great and it's made a lot of this, easier for smaller implementers. I would love it if we can do it. I understand if it's, you know, hard for people to run. And so I would love it if we can do it in a reasonable way. I've seen a reasonable way to do it. I'm just not sure how we could apply it here. I had a question on the purpose of the note that would go into the VC working group. It started off, like you were saying, we want to add the VC issuer and verifier as a note into the VC working group. And then it felt like you were saying that note will be used to illustrate this is how you can do testing. So the question is basically, is it the first one where it's just we want to add this is how you can do issuance and verification using the VC API to the VC working group? Or was it more this is how you can do it for the purpose of demonstrating this is how you can do testing, right? And last but not least, how do you envision the work progressing afterwards? Is this something where the CCG will no longer be working on it? Is this something where we would only be working on it at the working group? Yeah.
Yeah, excellent questions, Mahmoud. I put myself on the queue to respond. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, just a comment on nomenclature, Manu. I think that right now, as a newcomer, I see this VC API as an API and the VCA API test suite is a test suite for that API. But now what you're proposing is that this VC API is the API for a test suite. And so like the nomenclature here for me gets pretty confusing. And it makes me like question again, well, what is this API? Is it a test suite or is it an API that's in production or is, you know what I'm saying? Cause we now have a test suite for the API, and then the API is the test suite for something else.
Yeah. both excellent. And it kind of dovetails with what Mahmoud was saying. So my apologies. I think I confused things. So this is the verifiable credentials API specification that we have right now, right? So, there is a specification that talks about how you issue, verify, and present today. That's our core work item in this group. That work item is being used for a variety of other things. It's being used to drive, issuing and verification because the API is used for issuing and verifying. So there's a very strong distinction between the testing stuff that we're doing here and the testing stuff the verifiable credentials group is doing. That's one set of work, those are two separate things. And then there's the VC API, which is the main specification that we're working on here. So the suggestion is the VC API is useful for a variety of different things. In the verifiable credentials working group has as one of its potential deliverables, documenting ways that credentials can be issued and verified. So the VC API is specifically listed as something that the group can work on, the verifiable credentials working group, as a note. We cannot do a global standard on it. There were objections to doing that, but what we can do is talk about it and document it and that kind of stuff. So this document that's in our control right now, we can either share control of or hand it completely over to the verifiable credential working group. So that's item one, and that is just about the VC API and what it does, which is issue, verify, present, right? Okay, so that's our work item. We can move it over and have them work on it as a note in the verifiable credentials working group. Okay. The second thing is we are also working on test suites here. And all the test suites that we're working on here use the VC API to run the test suite, right? And so there's a whole bunch of testing and test suite stuff that we use, and the mechanism that we use to drive the test suites are the VC API. And so the verifiable credentials working group needs that capability, and we have it. So the question is, do we want to move that capability over? Do we want to enable the verifiable credentials working group with that capability? So that's kind of the second, question that's under discussion. Did that help clarify things, Paul, or did that make it worse, or are you still?
Oh, I think I understand the fundamentals. I think what I wanted to comment on was the naming. For example, when I name something like a VC API test suite, I just immediately assume that's a test suite that tests.
Oops. I think we lost him.
I think Paul, was it? Yeah, I think he dropped.
Paul.
Yeah. I think it is a test suite to test the VC API. So I think what the name is entirely accurate, unless I'm completely misunderstanding your proposal here, Manu. Your proposal is let's use this test suite as a blueprint for any future test suites we want to use. Also, we're putting in the VC API as a note. So let's have this test suite to test that note in the work group as well.
Almost the last bit we could decide not to do, it's an optional thing, but yeah, I think you got it, Mahmoud. Paul, we lost you, there. I think we got what you were saying, but would you like to kind of restate?
No, that's right. I'll let it go, Manu.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, your point's well taken, Paul. I mean, I think we're trying to figure out the best way to convey this stuff because it is multiple different things that are potentially mashed together, and the clearer the delineation, the easier it is for us to kind of talk about it. So, in the future, probably what we should do is talk about the VC API, the specification as its own thing, and what do we want to do with it? And the question there that folks should, spend the next 2 weeks thinking about is, we believe that no other API does issuing and verifying. So specifically, the VC API is the only API that does issuing and verifying now, specifically, you know, with relation to like DIDCOM and OpenID, the OIDC for VCI stuff. Those things kind of do presentation. So there's a question around, you know, presentation, but as far as we know, when you're talking about backend, kind of like microservices and HTTP APIs, the VC API is the only one that does issuing and verifying, for like back office stuff. So the suggestion is, could we just move issuing and verifying the parts of the spec that have to do with issuing and verifying over to the VCWG? We don't think that that is going to be, a controversial thing. Because it's already in scope for the charter and it's doing things that the other thing, you know, the other protocols, don't do. Patrick, you put yourself on the queue and then you put yourself.
Yeah, I think just short on time. I'll make it next time. I just going to point out, like, so the Aries cloud agent does have an endpoint that can, they don't call it issue, but they call it sign, a credential, which returns you a verifiable credential. Another endpoint that verifies it. So there's two specific endpoints available on an API that does those two functions. So I just wanted to point this out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we do have Aries people that are in the group, so I think they would have to see if they feel. I mean, they could try and put their note in as well. So yeah, maybe it's just going to be controversial anyway we go about it. Okay. Well, noting we're over time, my apologies, for going over time. We will not have the meeting next week because next week is rebooting the Web of Trust. In the meantime, folks should think about, you know, whether or not we want to move this, work into the VC working group. And we'll come back and, discuss the topic, in 2 weeks. Okay. Thanks everyone. Safe journeys to rebooting if you're going there. And if not, enjoy an hour back in your schedule next week. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye everyone.